flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, there are a lot of songs that could be winning answers, say, for
Fertile Ground in the song ground. Area.
And about 97% of them were in the movie Forrest Gump.
Yes.
This one was. Right. You're correct. Yeah.
Right?
That's the only thing I liked about that movie was the soundtrack.
Now, I liked the movie, but I didn't like the way Jenny treated him.
Neither did I.
I know, but we've talked about this. Like, she was beaten by her father.
She
grew up, like it is not
surprising.
It's not surprising. I agree. She doesn't treat him great, but she was a damaged human, man. You know?
I get it.
I hate it, too, but it is what she got.
Let me tell you something else I hate. The fact that the NBA has nonsense, and we've covered this 15 million times, but I'll just give you the latest example. Jimmy Butler suspended again by Miami. I mean, are you kidding me?
My God.
You know, like, he obviously...
Pat Riley telling him...
should keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, he's throwing a tantrum, and I support Riley standing up to him. Yeah. I mean, but we all know how this plays out. He's quitting on his team. They're going to have to dump him. They're going to have to dump him for dollars, you know, cents on the dollars. The dollar, whatever the phrase is.
Dimes on the dollar.
Dimes on the dollar. And
pennies, I believe it is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
it's just a joke. So it's frustrating, and, you know, it's just the latest example. All right, 2-1.
Does it make you think less of Jimmy at all?
Well, it's kind of in line with what we always knew, which is that he's a pain in the ass.
He's a problem.
So it's not.
But he thought of here. He is loved here. Like, he worked so hard. He's such a
I like that part of him.
I agree.
But look look how they got him. He left
Minnesota.
He went crazy on
after
Minnesota.
After a second there.
He went crazy. So, not really to answer your question. I will always love the competitive aspect of him when he's got a basketball in his hands and he's in a game and he wants to play hard, which he did here for about 3-4 months. But, I mean, we all know he's a pain in the rump.
Well, what about if he said, I want to go play with Joel?
Well, you'd have to take him. Well, yeah, you'd have to.
You've got to send me to Philly. Would you like him or would you dislike him?
Can we trade Paul George for him?
I would take him. I mean...
But what does that mean? You'd take him.
It means...
Like, would you? Yeah, can we turn Paul George into him?
He needs... Right. The whole point of this thing is he wants a new contract. So then you got Jimmy and Embiid. You're talking about albatrosses. Embiid contract already looks like the worst in the NBA without a doubt.
It's a farce.
Playing with Embiid is kind of...
But him together with Joel, I do think...
Joel doesn't play.
I don't think Joel cares enough.
Does that make Joel... Look, I'm so mad, I'm so annoyed, I'm so disgusted, but in the back of my head, it's dancing around. Holy cow, those two together, Jimmy and Joel, we know that they love one another from way, way back. What if that motivates Joel to actually want to try to play and get back out there on the court? I'm just saying, hypothetically, would you take Jimmy or not?
Yes. My answer is yes. Yeah. Yes, I would. All right, 215-592-9494. What gives you the most confidence in the Eagles and their ability to win on Sunday? I mean, there's a lot of parts to it that should make you really confident. Although, again, I'll say, you know, let's not act like the game's over before it's begun. I do think Washington poses a threat, Jaden Daniels in particular. And look, Dan Quinn, he's had a pretty damn good career. I mean, I know he blew a Super Bowl. I get it. I totally get that. But he's been a successful coach, and he did a really damn good job down there. After, by the way, doing a really good job for Dallas the last couple of years as their D coordinator. Although yesterday I found out something I don't think I ever knew. I didn't know he's bald, man.
Really?
He's doing a press conference. He's bald. Now, other than Zach Wheeler, and then people like Jordan, who
are
you
serious?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the bald football coach.
What?
No, football coach. And that's why he wears the hat, tough guy thing. I'm tough guy Dan Quinn, backwards hat, all that old deal.
I'm just surprised you didn't know.
No, I didn't know. Because all I ever do is sit with the hat on.
Yeah.
And he's clearly ashamed of his bald head.
Yeah, I think he is.
Yeah, and that's why he wears the backwards hat.
Yeah.
It's a loser. It's got a fence.
Well, the backwards hat alone is
well,
losing.
As a
50-year-old man or whatever. I mean, come on.
There's no shame in being.
Oh, my God. I would be embarrassed to do it in front of my daughter. I'd be like, I'm sorry.
There's no shame when you choose to shave it yourself, but when you wear the hat backwards out of shame, then that's shameful.
Well, how do you know it's not out of shame?
Yeah.
I don't think he seems like a shameful
guy. I never see Zach Wheeler wear a backward hat. Never see it.
Well, he plays baseball. It really is apples and oranges.
I'm joking around. Let's go to the phones. I really honestly didn't know he was bald. I swear to God. 215-592.
That blows my mind.
No. 215-592-9494. Paul in Downingtown. What's happening, Paul?
Hey, good morning, show. So I got two reasons I'm so confident. One of them kind of comes from the feelings, and that's this feeling of deja vu. This reminds me of 1980. You know, we won our division.
And
playing a divisional opponent for all the marbles at home.
Paul, how old were you in 1980?
I was 10. It's the first game I legitimately remember super
no
well.
No way.
Yeah. And all week long, it was dump Dallas. So I wish we'd come up with some kind of kitschy expression, you know, waste Washington, wipe Washington, something like that. You know,
yeah.
But anyway, I mean, it reminds me of that. And I have shades.
That's awesome.
Of Montgomery going off tackle. And, you know, I kind of see the same thing happening again. You know, here comes Saquon off tackle to lift the spirits and get everybody pumped up, you know. And
it could look very similar.
I think so.
Saquon
I really
and Wilbert.
Do.
Yeah, I love that parallel.
Yeah, I think it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to, you know, remind some of us old heads maybe of that 80 game where the defense was just dominant all day long. And we took off with the running game from the very beginning and we never looked back.
Paul, I was young. Who was it that had this strip sack? Was it Carl Hairston?
I want to say you're right, Joe, but I'm 10 and I don't have that brain.
I got to go back and watch that game. I've never seen the game.
Really?
And here's the other one. Like, I don't have to watch. I've never seen Super Bowl 15. John, have you ever watched the Eagles?
Why would you?
That you can skip.
But I mean, it just would be interesting. But I mean, it would be
bummer.
No, highlights. I know. But I'm just saying, like,
brutal.
You know,
I've only seen highlights.
Me too.
I don't think I ever. But I don't remember the game.
Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the number one reason I have for being confident is our defense. And bring me directly to Jalen Carter. He's just a human wrecking ball. And that's going to bring me to my answer because my answer is deliverance. And Jalen Carter is going to make those hogs squeal like pigs all day long. He's just going to be crushing them.
Oh,
and it's
man.
Be a great thing to see. I mean, he's just going to be wrecking those little guys that play across from this big grown. He's going to be a disruptive force, just like he saved the game last week by sacking the quarterback when he had a target open in the end zone. Here comes Carter bailing through the middle, busting everything up.
No, he's great. He's great.
All day long.
All right, Paul what transcends
deliverance,
entertainment?
Deliverance.
Deliverance. Yeah. All right, buddy. Good answer.
You were correct, Joe.
What's that?
Carl Hairston's trip.
Carl Hairston, yeah. Yeah, I was so young. I've never seen it. Our Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Do more and get more in a 2025 Armin Chevy Trailblazer. Starting at only $23,995. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. You know, tanking is in the air for some people with the Sixers. Some people think, let's just tank. I'm not there. I don't want them to, but, you know, I know they may. Big open-ended question for the second half of the season. Do you think the Sixers will tank in the second half of the season? Doesn't mean they have to in the first, 3 weeks of the second half of the season. They might try for portions of February, but at some point, do you think they just shut it down? So whether it's 15 games, 20 games, 10 games, 30 games, do you think the Sixers at some point, second half of the season, tank, yes or no? All right, let's hear from Jalen Hurts. He commented yesterday on his status. It was good to hear him. Sounds like things are in a pretty good spot for him to play on Sunday. Here's Jalen Hurts on his steps.
Yeah, I've just been progressing, taking it a day at a time. Was able to participate today and be involved in stuff, so just taking it a day at a time.
You feel like you're still on track to play Sunday?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you'd be able to play like you usually do, like be able to run and do
it? Every game is different, so just want to take it a day at a time and continue to progress.
All right, so that's Jalen Hurts yesterday. Good news. I mean, he's going to play, and, you know, no alarm bells there. Although, I feel pretty confident he's not going to be 100%, but, you know, trended in the right direction. Let me ask
this. It sounds like the opposite of alarm bells. Like, he is a lot less concerned than he could be.
But I wouldn't expect him to give alarm bells. So I take it a little bit with a grain of salt.
I agree with that.
Let me ask a question.
But doesn't that give you a little more assurance than
you
had before you heard him say something?
I expected that he would play yesterday morning, so it doesn't really change my outlook. Honestly.
And you expected that whatever he said, it would be a throwaway.
Yeah, it's like when it's sort of like when Sirianni answers a question about Jake Elliott. Like, He's gonna prop up Jake Elliott.
I think it feels to me like he escaped serious
I agree with that.
Problem.
I think that's right.
And it's a relief to some degree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That I, you know, having, I can't say for sure. I mean, I don't know even what he's dealing with.
Yep.
But, you know, the fact that he played a quarter and a half with it after the fact, and the fact that he was a, you know, limited participant in a fake practice yesterday. Yep. You know, I think today we're going to find out a lot. This is the practice that matters, and it feels to me like he's going to go out there and practice.
No, well, he could be limited again. So let me ask the question. I asked this for myself, for my friend, and the millions of people listening that probably are confused like me. Can one of you, John James Aria, please explain to the world, because I don't truly totally get it, the concept of how it works in the NFL that you're a limited participant by estimate for a practice that didn't really happen.
If they were going to have the practice, they would have been limited.
And who makes that assessment?
I'm assuming the trainers and the doctors.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, I'm assuming...
I'm sure in coordination with the coaching staff.
Yeah, and I'm sure Sirianni makes the rest designations. Like, hey, these are my veterans, I'm going to give them a rest day. I think that helps.
James, that makes sense to you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's correct.
Okay, so we'd say if we had practice, here's
this
how we
would have... This is what he would have been able to do in practice.
And by NFL rule, they're not allowed to lie because of gambling stuff and...
Exactly.
All that stuff.
Okay. Correct.
All right. All right, but yeah, to John's point, today they like practice.
I think limited is good though, because they could have said nothing. They could have said no,
because Goddard
it's an estimate. Yeah, it's an estimate. So like they could, and he is like injured, so they could have
practiced.
Yeah, so I do think it's a good sign he's limited.
So the fact that Cam with a back
did not fake practice.
This is not rest. Cam Jurgens didn't practice.
Well, and doubt for the ankle too.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, everyone's so concerned about Jalen, who I believe has skipped injury, and you got Dallas Goedert not practicing for the fake practice.
Well, Jurgens would be
and
a bigger
Cam
deal.
Jurgens, because, the guy who's making all the calls up front for the protection, which was not good enough in this last game against the zone blitz. The protection was a problem. Cam Jurgens is now not practicing. The guy who's making all the calls, making sure everyone understands in every communication, that guy is not out there getting reps.
You know who plays if Cam can't go? Going to be in studio with us in 45 minutes. Probably driving in right now. He's like, damn that D-camera.
Start eating, Jason.
Kelsey's like, damn, Joe, why do you have to bring this up? No, I'm just joking.
No, seriously, the question,
seriously,
does anyone
though?
Know who does play?
James, come on.
If Cam Jurgens doesn't go?
Joking. I'm joking. It's Nick Gates, isn't he, their backup?
I think. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Dickerson,
seriously?
They've talked about sliding Dickerson over. There have been all kinds of discussions.
Once upon
a time,
Toth
I think Nick Gates is technically the backup.
Center?
Say it again, Jen.
Once upon a time, Toth played center at some point, but like there's no Nick Gates. I have no idea who you are.
Well, Nick Gates is the one who came in for the Giants, like the last game of the season when they didn't play the starters. Nick Gates played center. So I'm assuming he's the backup center.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, 215-592-9494. Jason Kelsey with us in studio coming up in about 45 minutes. Reminder, 8 o'clock today, you can hear a name, and with that name, win tickets. To the Eagles game versus Washington, which we'll give away tomorrow at 8 o'clock. But you got to hear the name today at 8 o'clock when we give that name.
Courtesy of our great partner, NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, what gives you a lot of confidence? The Birds take down Washington on Sunday. Let's go to Scott calling from King of Prussia. What's going on, Scott?
Greetings, team. Good morning.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Doing well. So, first of all, real quick Sixers comment. They don't need to tank. They already stink. They're going to end up tanking anyway, so that's not a problem.
Well, I'll just say to Scott, they're on pace to miss the playoffs but not be in the top five for ping pong balls probability, which is why teams tank, you know, because you want to get into that top five. So your theory, while nice, doesn't really speak to the heart of how it typically works in the NBA anymore.
Joe, I've had my fill with tanking.
I agree with you. I'm not advocating it. Yeah.
Yeah, tanking has proven to be a losing proposition.
Well, that's not entirely accurate. Here it hasn't worked the way we'd want it to, but it's worked in a lot of some other places, I should say.
You know, Casey did it pretty damn good.
I mean, Scott, just, yeah. I mean, there are examples of it working, so.
Yeah, but not with this.
I understand.
Certainly would never trust them to do it, so. Okay. Anyway, moving on to the Eagles. Fangio mentioned the gun run, and I see this kid Daniels as Mahomes-like in the way he he kind of feels pressure and he just slips past it and he just can't seem to get a hand of him on him. He killed us in the last game when our pass rush would overcommit and he would just step right up and just run through the lanes. I'm wondering, John, maybe you know, did defensive linemen do some type of rush where they go into rush, but then they stop and just kind of fill lanes?
Yes, it's mush rush.
That's the mush rush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a contain rush that they make sure they don't ever go past the quarterback. You always have to keep, you know, your like one eye on him, one eye on your assignment. Everyone stay in your lane and slow play it.
Yep. And Scott, so just, you know, that's a big part of how the Eagles beat Vic in 04 in the championship game. That was Jim Johnson's main strategy of containing Vic.
All right, so you're still trying to get to the quarterback, or at some point you just kind of give up and stay in your lane and put your hands up?
Good question. Like, you know what? We'll ask Kelsey at 7:30 because I'm sure he's defended it.
Okay.
And you know how it works in the end.
You're still trying to get the quarterback.
But you're being careful about the manner in which you do it. Is that fair to say, John?
Yes. It's assignment football. Discipline is critical above all else, but if you have a chance to get that guy on the ground, you're getting him on the ground.
For sure, yeah.
I think that's the key to this game. I really do. Just keeping – if we can keep him under, like, 50 yards rushing, 40-ish
sure.
right there, I think there's no doubt that we dominate this
game. Look, that's part of how the Eagles beat Lamar Jackson. I mean, I shouldn't say the mush rush would be, but I will say this. Lamar Jackson barely ran against the Eagles, and so that threat, I don't know if it's something the Eagles specifically did or if Lamar just wasn't looking to run that night. I don't know. But, I mean, the fact that Lamar didn't go wild with the legs was a huge part of how the Eagles won. Scott, give me an answer, my man. What transcends entertainment?
All right, so I have a transcending moment for our nation and for baseball, and that's what Jackie Robinson opened up baseball for everybody.
So that obviously will be a potential winning answer. There are a couple others for me that come to mind that could be of an ilk, at least near it, but that one might win. Jackie Robinson, obviously 1947, huge deal.